Nice. Hey, it's Friday, June 17th, 2022. We're live. Thank you for joining us here on Rucksack Radio, the podcast for Patriots, hosted by two veterans, the one mission and 1776 reasons, on our beautiful, brilliant friend Jenny on Fridays.
Hello.
Jenny.
How are you?
This podcast. I'm good. This podcast is always bold, blunt, uncensored, and full of red, white, and blue truth. I just got to get that part in there. That's important. I'm good.
Buckle up, ladles and germs.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Phil's punchy. He hasn't had any sleep. I'm drinking some generic White Claw or something.
Drinking a little Pinot.
I think
that's not bad though.
That one's called vaginal sand.
This debate, close enough. Sounds like a douche or something. Sounds like it's this debate. It's like it should be walking on a beach. Mom, do you douche?
Do you remember that not so fresh feeling? Yes, especially after using vaginal bay or whatever the fuck it's called.
Vista Bay. Yeah. Hey, Aldi's had it. It was like $5 or something. And I was like, well, I'll try it. It's black cherry. It's not bad. I'm not normally a seltzer drinker to start with.
It's like good summer, like if you're hanging by the pool and stuff like that. You know, the soy.
It's a great drink. I like the flavor. So I brought all six of them into the studio with me. So this could be an interesting time.
To be fair and honest, I've had some seltzer drinks. They're not terrible. They get bad
rap. One that I did the other
day. Yeah, I think they probably do, but it's not seltzer in itself was nothing I've ever really had the, you know, a taste buds for. But this really isn't too bad, so it might become a new thing.
Mamitas.
I'm starting to think that like mix the seltzer with some vodka probably too.
They actually have that vodka seltzer. They do make it.
Okay, there you go. See?
It's in a little can like that, but it's got a yellow square in the middle of it. It says something about hard vodka.
No, you have to go to this one.
Do you know what's
Mamitas. It's tequila and soda. And it's pineapple. Oh yeah.
You know what pineapple does, Tom.
Pineapple and tequila. You'll be running around naked and getting your rocks off, you know? And tequila.
Horny and tasty.
I was like,
nice.
I was like, it's gonna be a long hour.
Yeah, it is. Well, Jack Daniels is making this new product. Let me get it up here. It's I just saw an article on this the other day. They're gonna start selling it in Mexico this year, and it's gonna be start available in the United States in 2023. Is the screen coming up here? There it is. Jack and Coke in cans. Dude, if this had been a thing like 20 years ago, I'd have been in a lot, even 10 years ago, I'd have been in a lot of trouble.
Tom wouldn't be a cop. He'd be in jail. Wearing a man bun, drinking.
That was my go-to drink. And now it's going to come out in cans. That's going to be interesting.
I never care for Jack and Coke.
Oh man, towards the tail end of the Marine Corps, my buddies got me hooked on that, and then that was the drink, and it was Jack and Coke, and then it just became Jack and water after a few years, and then it was just Jack on the rocks anytime I went anywhere. That's all I drank. It was just straight Jack.
Technically, Jack and water once the ice melts.
Yeah. I could sit on a weekend. We'd have parties at the house or something like that. People over. It was nothing for me to drink in a whole bottle, a whole fifth of Jack myself.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, on a weekend. And I'd get up the next day and cut the grass early and I'd be fine. You know, it wouldn't impact me at all. And then it's somewhere around, 5-10 years ago, somewhere like that. I just, all of a sudden, it completely changed.
Yeah.
Jack and I had a breakup because he started kicking my ass. I started getting like angry and irritable. I'm like, nope, no more. We're done with the whiskey.
Jack
and
abusive.
I went out with a guy. He would.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack could suck my fucking dick.
He would keep his pants. I don't want no more Jack. Like a shitload of Jack. And I was like, this can't happen. And I was like, you're a grown man, like peeing your pants after drinking all that Jack Daniels. Like, it was the strangest thing ever.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of the fire water.
Yeah. So I'm working on an article that'll be available this weekend, but I'm really updating some past stuff. Gavin Newsom joined Truth Social, right? And he joined Truth Social, and his first post was he's calling out Republican lies, and he's got this big – his first post is about how, you know, these Republican-led states have this huge crime problem. He's just deflecting from his own stuff, and he's comparing states to cities, you know, and – I had started working on this a while ago, so my article, I'll have it out this weekend. I'll have it with all of the backup, the links and everything, but I have looked at everything, and just a few facts for you. 16 of the top 20 cities with the worst ozone pollution are led by Democrats. That's according to the American Lung Association. According to the FBI's Uniform Crime Reports, 18 of the top 20 cities with the highest murder rates are led by Democrats. 16 of the top 20 cities with the highest rate of rape or sexual assault are led by Democrats. 17 of the top 20 cities with the highest rates of burglary are led by Democrats. The highest poverty rate, 15 of the top 20 cities with the highest poverty rates are led by Democrats. 14 of the top 20 cities with the highest unemployment are led by Democrats. So I've gone through this, and what I also did then is I took the top 10 Democrat cities by population, and I took the top 10 Republican-led cities by population, and averaged them out. And when you look at this, the Democrat for violent crime, the rates among Democrat-led cities, the top 10 most popular or populated Democrat cities, is 716 per 100,000. For the top 10 Republican-led cities, it's 603 per 100,000. The air quality index is higher in the Democrat cities, on the bad side, not higher. Graduation rates or attrition, you know, is higher or less graduation rates in the Democrat cities. So I'm looking at all kinds of metrics. So I'll have that out this weekend. And that's not... that's not just because of our current economic situation. Like some of these numbers are 2021, 2019, even with crime. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with Putin. You know, it's, but I thought it was amusing that he was going to get on Truth Social because he said he had to set some truths straight or whatever, debunk some Republican lies. He's setting himself up for a presidential run, is what he's doing.
These psycho people. Like, they're. I mean, have you looked at de Blasio? Like, he's like, I'm going to run for Congress. They're the shit. I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand.
They're so detached. They're so detached, Jenny. They're so detached from reality. Like, Newsom doesn't seem to know or realize or think that most of the rest of the country thinks he's a fucking knob hole. So there's no way he'd get some blue state votes, but he's not going to pull off any major votes. He wouldn't get through the primaries.
I mean, anyone that's had a recall against them, whether they won it or not, that kind of gives you a little bit of a clue right there that things usually are not going the way that they should be. Right?
No, but it doesn't. Well, Scott Walker, was recalled. He had a recall attempt at him in Wisconsin, and he was the first major state governor to survive a recall attempt. But he was then voted out. We talked about that a lot on this show. It was sketchy, but you're right. Seattle. I saw that stat the other day somewhere. As a matter of fact, they're decriminalized even more stuff. I think Washington State has decriminalized all kinds of drugs now and everything too. It's only going to get worse. I mean, they're it's like they're deliberately turning their cities into the Hunger Games. It's or, you know, Insurgent or Divergent or whatever those movies were. It's absolutely unreal how they don't realize what they're doing, because their own voting base in so many ways is turning against them. We've said some of the primaries, we're seeing that, but bigger than this. And I talked about this months ago, I talked about this in the early primaries in April when Wisconsin had their primaries in a few areas, that the turnout is crazy. Republican turnout is much higher than usual, and Democrat turnout is much lower. Because some of the Democrats that don't want to switch and vote for a Republican are just not going to vote at all. You know, that's what people do in these situations. They abstain from voting at all.
And they know they're a bunch of morons. They're that's like going to be the big story. Everything they put their hands on, they ruin. And I'm not just saying that because I lean more right. It's because it's the truth, really. I mean,
look at the world around us. It's a legit statement. They have control of everything. And if you look at the states, this is another study I'm working on for another article, but so far what I'm finding is if you look at the states that where governors didn't enforce, they weren't heavy-handed with COVID restrictions and mandates, masks and lockdowns and things like that, those states, their economies have fared better. They've had their rates of like suicide and things like that haven't been as high as they've been in the blue states. It's clear, but this goes down to one thing in my eyes, one simple thing. It's control. And Republicans generally want people to feel liberated and people are in control of their own lives. And Democrats want to have control of people's lives. And that's why they're so miserable. And they can't, it's a simple psychology and they can't seem to
get that. But why? What's coming? I understand the control issue. I think a lot of it is driven financially because there's a lot of things that are going on. Now we know a lot more than we did in the past, but I just automatically contribute half this stuff to filling their pockets, really, an underlying issue. And that's a big, a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at these rich mofos.
There is so much money laundering in politics.
Of course.
On both sides, really, but especially on the left. And that, I mean, that's obvious through Act Blue and everything. Well, look at Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. Was it Ted Cruz or Rand Paul that was asking Dr. Fauci about if he had received any royalties from the drug companies over the COVID vaccines? And he just wouldn't answer. He said it's not information he could divulge or whatever, something like that. They know they have because they have the stats on it.
If the answer was no, he'd be like, no.
Exactly. He's like, I don't know. I really don't know. Or something like, am I supposed to know?
Yeah, he doesn't know if he got a fat ass check from Pfizer. I'm sure. What a fucking douche.
What is this $50 million doing in my bank? How did that get
out? Yeah. This fucking guy, disease of the unvaccinated, and the little fucking gnome came down with COVID now after four of his booster seat shots.
He was scared to face Rand Paul. That's what he was. That's the problem. He was scared to face him. And then he jumped in on the Zoom call. That's what happened. He's like, let me pull this fucking COVID shit. Yeah. That's what everyone does. They pull the COVID shit when they don't want to do something. They know everyone's like, okay, you're not going to show up or blah, blah, blah. So that's the new thing now. You don't want to be bothered. Pull the COVID out. The COVID card.
Yeah. I wish that he would just crawl back into his fucking Keebler tree and go away. Fucking elf. He's so annoying.
Get back in your fucking tree and make them fucking cookies, elf.
Oh, man.
I don't want a cookie.
You gotta wonder what's gonna... Yeah. That's the thing. I didn't bring any treats in here with me. I just got the juice. And
I should have got some cookies tonight before the show.
Oh.
Look forward to tossing them there.
I'm in Aldi's and I'm getting groceries. You know, and I had my daughter with me and she's like, Dad, can I get these chocolate covered bananas? Dad, can I get this little thing of ice cream? Dad, I'm like, hey, we're focusing on substance here.
First of all, we're looking for nutrition. Second of all, put it in the cart. Shut up.
Yeah, that's how it went, really. Okay. Can't say no to her. Thanks for joining us live there, Gads. Good to see you in there. Jenny, thanks for being with us here on Friday night. We're pretty caught up on shows. If you're watching this on Rumble or YouTube, please hit the thumbs up button, subscribe. You can support the show by going to rucksackradio.com and by sharing it with the world on all of your platforms. Yeah. I don't feel like talking much more politics. I don't know. Jenny, you got anything on your mind with regards to politics that you want to get off your chest on this Friday show and vent off?
The whole drag thing is crazy that I see, only because I've been to drag shows personally myself. I've known drag queens personally myself. And it's, I don't know, and it's never involved children. It's never gotten to that point. I don't understand where this is coming from. I don't understand it at all.
Democrats go extreme. Like when I first enlisted in the military, like you couldn't go in the military if you were gay. And then Clinton changed it.
Maps.
And then Clinton changed it to, you know, don't ask, don't tell. If you're gay, just don't tell anybody. And then later on, like Obama pretty much made it mandatory that you had to be gay, you know, to be in the military. And it's just like, they take everything to the extreme, but that's what progressives do. They take everything to the extreme. And I think I've said it before, but that's a problem with any society that tries to progress too far, too fast. You crumble. You can't do it. And that the drag shows are a prime example of that. I've seen there's starting to be a lot more people standing up and going to these things and speaking out and crashing these things,
shows. It's just not, they can have it's fine. It's whatever. You know how I feel about things. You want to put on pink panties? Go for it.
Do your thing.
Don't
shove
it down my
kids.
Throat and don't freaking get the kids involved. When they turn 18, if they want to put pink panties on and dress around, go for it. You know, like you do whatever the hell you want as an adult. Do not allow these children.
What are
you
getting shoved down your throat? Hey, you leave your little drag penis in your skirt.
Are you guys talking about skirts or pink panties for yourselves? Like, what's going on?
No.
To be fair, these are comfortable.
I mean, number two. Number two.
Phil.
You're right. You know, and what's really shocking to me is they're already like losing the schools in a way, right? There's already this big push by conservatives to take schools back. And now liberals are doubling down and throwing this drag shit in there on top of it. It's like, how do you, like, you would think that they would regroup at this point in time and think, you know, how are they going to hold on to schools by not making their policies worse.
I saw something in Virginia. It's not Loudoun County, but still the Virginia. And there was something about the misgendering children. It's going to be this big problem. Well, at the same time, they have like a 30% passing rate for like math and reading in the same school. They're like, wait a second. So you're bitching about the misgendering of these kids that don't even give a shit. Like they don't even, they're kids. But you can't read or you can't write. Yep. Like what the hell's going on here?
We're in trouble. We're in decline. I mean, we're following so many of the same parallels that the Roman Empire fell with. And it people can't realize it because they don't want to acknowledge history. And they think we're so far removed from history that we're more advanced or better than this. No, it's human. It's a human condition. It's a product of the human condition. And if you can't understand basic human behavior and how that applies, and the fact that you can virtue signal and want all these things, these dudes in dresses and their dicks hanging out and whatever else, and you think that's great, but China doesn't give a shit about that. And they're going to leverage that weakness by us. And same with Russia and North Korea and a majority of the world that doesn't go for this stuff. The Democrats have become so extreme.
Well, that's
it's
what they're
really
going to pay the price, you know, come the midterms, they're going to pay the price. Cause I think people have had enough. They've crossed that line and it's just too far now, you know, it's just too far. There's no reason.
I don't. I just, what worries me is how much further are they going to go? Because they just seem to, when they, as they get more desperate, they seem to become more extreme. So that's why I think this summer is going to make the summer of 2020 look like a summer camp. I think it's just going to get outrageous.
You think there's going to be like riots and stuff again? Like similar to that?
Oh, for sure.
Did you see what happened? I just saw before we came on the show, Colbert's like staff. Like they tried to get into the Capitol or something. They were like knocking on the door.
They forced their way into the Capitol. They were going to do some kind of documentary, but they had no permission to be in there. And it turns out Adam Schiff apparently somehow gave them access and wasn't supposed to. They had no authorization. Yeah. So they're being charged with the same things, unauthorized entry or unlawful, you know, access entry in the Capitol. The same thing that January 6th protesters are being charged with. I love it. Because it's just going to be like, hey, if you're persecuting the here's a problem with our democracy, then guess what? Here you go, Democrats. Yep. Not one of your own did this. Lying piece of shit. Sooner or later, that guy's got to be held accountable. Oh, boy. All right. Let's move on. My boyfriend says I've smelled bad for years. I'm mortified he didn't tell me sooner.
Like, smell bad as in how?
Body odor. Apparently, a woman has found herself in an upsetting situation with her partner after admitting his thoughts on her body odor for the first time in 4 years that they've been together.
I've been drinking Vista Bay the whole time.
I should have fucking known!
Vaginal sand. Mortified that he hadn't said something sooner and also self-conscious that other people might have felt the same way, the unnamed girlfriend turned to the internet for some advice. Right. Oh, no. Don't turn to the internet for advice.
That's what all smart people do. Hey, can you give me your opinion? The first 5,000 comments are big fucking thing.
She took to Mumsnet to explain the issue she was having, and many people were quick to reassure her they'd experienced similar body problems.
Ever since
share
the
chips
shot.
To combat it. I don't take a shower.
Actually,
what tips do you need?
Not to get serious on a goofy story here, but does it say if she's vaccinated? Because I've heard quite a few people around here say since they've been vaccinated, they can't get rid of their BO.
Well, this has apparently been going on for 4 years. So, her partner of 4 years has told me that I smell. He said it in a polite way as if trying to help me. I'm 26. And to be honest, I've always known I sweat a lot under my arms, but his comment had hit home that other people probably think so too. I work in an office and I often find that 10 minutes into putting on a worktop, I have sweat patches piss under stains. My arms.
I have a story for this. Go ahead, keep reading.
Toss some maxi things there.
Even if I wear a black blouse, I'm uncomfortable as the armpit area is absolutely soaked through.
I have hyperactive sweat glands.
It happened to me. I swear to God. I didn't smell, but my sweating was out of control. I had to go to the doctor, and they gave me this roll-on thing that, like, burned the shit out of my freaking sweat glands. I was like, oh, my God. But I stopped sweating, you know, after that week. I couldn't wear any colored shirts because I would sweat right through it. And they were like, oh, it's like your hormones or whatever. So I feel you, girl. But I didn't stink. I still smell. You know?
She says she sweats more than average, and he agreed and said that he's noticed it for years.
I love your stink.
I'm fit. I go on lots of walks. I'm a vegetarian, so I don't understand why I sweat so much. I don't think being a vegetarian has anything to do with your sweat.
Not with the sweat. She probably fucking smells terrible because she's
the asparagus urine.
It's coming out in your pores.
Or coffee.
Yeah, coffee pee.
Mm-hmm. Some people gave her pointers. Wash your towels and bed sheets frequently. Dinner with clothes, especially bras and tops. These only natural fabrics, not synthetics. Make sure you are fully dry after showering before putting on clothes. Well, Deodorant really? Works. Yeah, no shit. Are these are this is what you get if you go to the internet for help though.
I just wave the towel over me and get dressed. I didn't know you had to fully dry yourself off. What the fuck? 22.
Looks like you pooped your pants.
Stinky bitch.
Is that sweat or still your shower?
I just drew my pants on. You know? I've been doing that for the last 20 years.
Sometimes I'm not even out of the shower yet before I put
Do
my
you
pants
shower
on.
With your pants on, Phil? Just skip the whole step.
So, I may or may not have done that once or twice.
Skip the whole step.
Can neither confirm nor deny.
I'm not gonna get into this conversation
because haven't you?
You just it wasn't like you got on the show. I know you did.
It's okay. So to be fair, it started in boot camp, did it not, Tom? The PT showers. What we would do? Yeah. We'd go run for fucking 100 fucking miles or whatever the fuck it was, and then okay, you've got 15 minutes to get ready for fucking chow. So you run in, so like the guide or somebody would run in first, turn on all the shower heads. The whole fucking platoon runs in, runs down the squad bay, does a lap through the shower heads, dressed.
Oh my God, see?
Dry off, throw your camis on, and go shove some fucking swill down your throat.
You got it in you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those were silkies. They dried out pretty quick.
See, you had silkies. We didn't have silkies.
Yeah. Well, we had the cotton ones too.
Well, okay, yeah, we had the cotton ones still.
Yeah, silkies were third phase. We didn't get to wear the silkies till third phase.
No, we didn't get them at all.
I don't know.
Rude message on Dad's gravestone. Appalls cemetery staff, but family knows that he would love it. They wanted to pay tribute. Family wanted to pay tribute to a beloved father in a humorous way by secretly including an explicit message on his headstone.
It's a target. It says,
but the staff at the cemetery haven't found it so funny.
Who cares? They didn't have to pay for the headstone. Fuck them.
Yeah, right? So,
dead.
Put it on here. Cause it's still
you want to see what it says on.
Yeah. It says, forever in our hearts until we meet again. Cherished memories known as our son, brother, father, papa, uncle, friend, and cousin. If you read it down, it says fuck off. This is the first letter of each sentence.
I would love my headstone to say something like that. Or IDGAF.
It was an easy
IDGAF.
The Owens family says the message was meant as a harmless way to remember him because Stephen regularly used the term fuck off.
That's so great.
The cemetery workers in Warren Powers Cemetery of Polk County, Iowa aren't so keen on it.
It's his headstone. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, I got fuck Polk County, Iowa. They don't have to be.
No one's forcing anybody to look at it.
Exactly.
You know, how many people just at random? I mean, there are people at random. Like, I used to run through a cemetery because there was a path through there. It was close to where I lived. I'd run or walk through there. But, I mean, how many
people
just, you know, yeah. And how many people are even going to notice it, really, except for delinquents like us?
Fuck off on a headstone, but yet they're bringing kids to a drag queen, you know. Like that, this is going to bother you.
Exactly.
Nobody would even know this was the case if Polk County, Iowa didn't open their fucking mouths. So shut up. This would have been a story.
Family is hopeful that the gravestone can stay put. And yeah, I would say, fuck you, you're not changing his gravestone.
How much this fucking thing cost? Look at that. That's a nice looking one.
Yeah, that was a few thousand dollars for sure.
Actually, I would double down and put another fuck you on the back of the headstone and be like, you.
I would have two middle fingers etched into that fucking thing on both sides of his name.
Like, oh, you don't like it? Now we're gonna add more to the back. All right.
Yeah, something on the back that spells out.
Yeah, you don't like the front? Fuck off again. Okay.
Mm-hmm. grandmother mortified as she's left looking horrible after an epic bottomless
Oh,
lunch.
I saw this one. What? This is hilarious.
Yeah.
And she was so cool.
I gotta, damn, I thought I don't.
Oh, you have don't to have the picture of grandma with the shiner.
I'll have to find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, continue on the headstone story. Drags. Well, I find the
grandma with the
shiner.
Do you
want to
be shiner. Buried or do you want to be burned? I want to be burned.
Well, I want to be. They have this new thing now where you can be converted or you can be. You can have your ashes mixed in with like the roots and potting of a tree that gets planted.
I would do that.
Yeah, that's totally.
Well, first,
what
take
I want.
All the good body parts, whatever you need to, for someone else. They can pull me apart. I really.
Oh, we know what parts those are. Hey, Tom, she's talking.
We couldn't hear you, Bill.
Take that giant wiener off of Tom. Holy shit, Grandma!
Grandma ended up face planting.
Got the fucking meat sweats in this past.
It's like she was on a plane asking Tyson for his autograph.
That's it. I'm gonna Super Bowl the ground. For what?
She ended up shitting her food.
She was actually about it. Yeah. Yep.
The grandma ended up face-planting in the loo following a recent bottomless brunch after enjoying a few too many porn star martinis.
I want the one that's extra black and extra thick.
Nat Cooper, 43. 4. She's rough for 43.
Yeah, that is rode hard and put away wet. This is grandma.
Assume she could handle a drink. She assumed she could handle a drink after a recent all-inclusive trip, but later found herself with a concussion and a badly swollen eye. After falling face first in a toilet cubicle into the floor.
Photographers removed the pee and poop stains before taking a picture.
She claims to have no memory of leaving the venue or getting home after the incident.
I think.
Didn't she go to another? She went to
a mom of six who was left feeling like Dory out of Finding Nemo. Had been sitting on the toilet at the time of the fall. Had kept the cubicle door open so she could continue chatting away with her best friend.
Wait a second. What? Do you girls actually do that?
We go together. It's like a tag team effort.
Yeah, do you leave
the
door open?
Depends on how many cocktails you had before you entered the bathroom.
Are the acoustics
been drinking?
Yeah, they watch out for you.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe we're weird, Tom. Is it weird that we're just eyes front? No conversation?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know.
Like the stalls and stuff. Like, hey, girl. You know, like.
The birthday girl, they had already pre-drank two big vodkas plus a can of Lambrini on the bus to the restaurant.
Vista Bay.
She went to the bottomless brunch and had.
You gotta get me thinking.
I'm gonna say it. I'm like, you guys, did you restock the Vaginal Bay? Sorry, Tom.
She doesn't even remember going to the toilet.
I'd be like, did you restock your vaginal bag?
She's a gas station cashier.
No. I would have bought high finance. She's made several good life choices. 6 kids and how many grandkids at 43?
Yeah. She doesn't remember going to the toilet, but was later told that she just flopped forward while sitting on the toilet.
Ass all up in the air. That's it, Tom. Next time I come to Wisconsin, we're going to take a shit at the same time we're going to leave the stall doors open so we can talk.
I don't remember, right? I don't remember leaving the place or getting home. I think I had a concussion because I wanted to sleep and didn't know I had fallen. We went outside to wait for the bus, and I was on the ground at the bus stop when a very kind stranger stopped and asked to take us home. What's so?
I woke up and my butthole was bleeding.
Instead, we asked to get dropped off. Instead, we asked to get dropped off at another local pub. Hardcore.
Hey, you done yet.
Drinking again. Oh, great.
They're on a mission to get some dick. Some deal.
The restaurant itself was second to none. A beautiful place and lovely staff. I hope they let me back in. It wasn't their fault.
No shit, it wasn't.
From now on, every time she walks in, they're gonna be like, "Ain't you the bitch that fell asleep in the bathroom?"
Oh, look, it's shit face.
Literally. How about your pre-game today, Grammy? She has some vaginal bay.
Oh my god! You have to give her credit though. She was still walking, talking, and kept drinking. So
yeah, she wants some dick. She wants another. She wants a seventh kid.
I can't see it yet.
The fucking kid would just fall right out of her.
Oh, this could go a couple different ways. She doesn't look too happy about that.
Well, he's white, so. Clearly, it's not hanging into the photo. When your balls are bigger than your dick.
Scientist, yeah, she's like, I was hoping to see your baggage, and you pull out this coin purse.
When you've been dick fished. That don't look like the dick you sent me.
I don't get it. I think you sent me was black.
Much, much bigger.
Scientist warns that men's penises are shrinking. Scientist warns that men's penises are shrinking, and it could have a big effect on mankind's survival.
If they say it's because it's beer, I'm going to be pissed off.
That's horrible. Yeah.
An award-winning scientist has made a shocking revelation that could shake humanity to its core. Penises are shrinking. Dr. Shanna Swan is one of the world's leading reproductive epidemiologists, and her research indicates men are suffering from higher rates of erectile dysfunction, and babies are being born with smaller junk.
It's because of plastic, isn't it? Some shit like that?
Yeah, she believes microplastics and pollutants are seeing babies unable to develop properly.
Feel smart.
And causing an overall feminization of society. Oh, well, there you go. That explains the soy boys.
You know what? It's just making the penis anal-friendly.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's pretty
can't
much.
One show, dude. While penis size. While penis size has weirdly often been a keen topic of conversation in locker room talk, the revelation is much more worrying than one would believe. Not only are we being left with smaller penises, but sperm counts have dropped by more than 50% in Western countries in the past 40 or 50 years.
What the hell
is
happening to dudes?
That's big. It's not big.
But, no. Mine dropped by 100% about 17 years ago.
She believes her findings show a global existential crisis brewing and has pointed to the growing number of toxic chemicals used for food packaging, which she alleges impact how certain hormones are produced.
I believe it. Oh my god.
Babies are now entering the world already contaminated with chemicals because of the substances they absorb in the womb.
What number are you on?
What do you mean?
You just said chemicals suffered in the womb.
Womb. Number two.
Chemicals.
Yeah, chemicals absorbed in the womb.
Right.
Okay. Moving on.
Phil needs a nap.
I do.
She said that there are five factors that can see a species defined as endangered, and the current state of affairs for humans meet at least three of them. Although this doesn't go on to say what those are. It's in a book she wrote, apparently.
Well, it's when the men turn into women.
Yeah.
A recent study conducted by an online pharmacy used data from 86 countries to conduct a study determining the largest and smallest average penis sizes in the world.
What were the findings?
Penis size can have a massive impact on confidence and self-image. According to the study, men in Ecuador are the most well-endowed, with an average penis size of almost 7 inches when erect.
Yeah, and they're all the size of a mohawk.
Really? Ecuadorian men?
This makes the measurement more than 10% of the average height.
Denny's like,
I was like, oh, shut up,
take that one. Take the middle shelf. The guy on the left.
One. I bet he has a big schlong.
He's
okay. That's what Paul's
about. He's from Ecuador.
Of course.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Take the guy with the macro penis. I mean, like... Of course, there can't be a biggest without a smallest. The study found that Cambodians have the smallest penis size, coming in at just 3.9 inches when erect.
Looks like it means, kind of, when it's not.
I didn't know this was Cambodian.
Well, now he can rip on his penis and be like, I know about you.
Not far off is Taiwan and the Philippines at 4.2 inches.
That's why they love Americans.
Well, British and American counterparts compared, U.S. men narrowly beat the U.K. with an average size of 5.3 inches when erect in 59th place.
What was it, 5.3?
5.3, 59th place in the world.
I don't know about you, Thomas, but I'd probably say I'm above average.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely off the charts. Brits were down in 66th place with an average of 5.17 inches.
Time to go to Britain.
France. France is at 11th place with 6.2 inches.
Oh, they're a bunch of liars. Yeah.
Does the size really matter? Ultimately, the answer is maybe, maybe not. The owner of the penis is far more likely to be worried about the size of their penis than the sexual partners are. I don't think that's true. Tell us, Jenny. Size matters, doesn't it? You're a woman. Be honest.
Sometimes it depends. It depends. So if you know what you're doing with it, then it depends on what you're looking for. You know, like it's just depends on what you're looking for. You know, I
girth over length, always, right?
Well, no, like, you don't have to have like a big fat, like, you know, like bratwurst, you know, like, but you don't want like a 10-inch.
No, but it's something like a 2-inch.
I mean, something that would be, right? I guess, want like a 10-inch pizza. I don't know. You know? Oh, look at that.
That can of shredded chicken.
Ecuador, Cameroon, Bolivia, Sudan, Haiti, Senegal, Gambia, Cuba, the Netherlands, and Zambia round out the top 10.
I didn't even know about Ecuador. I know Germans are usually higher on the thing, and Italians.
They are. And I've got German in me. Is that German? So Italians are up there too.
What else did you do this afternoon, Tom?
You want to get some German in you?
Wiener schnitzel.
Yeah, Italians are on 19th on the list, over 6 inches.
And then, oh, I see ghosts.
21 countries are above 6 inches. The rest are all below.
I'm calling bullshit.
I don't know about that.
How the fuck are we just above the jet?
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way, because they're not.
That's
it. This whole thing is bullshit.
I got German in me. I got Polish in me. I'm on the high side of the list. Wow, it is. All right. As a matter of fact, you can add the two together.
It was a bukkake afternoon for Thomas.
But on ball.
I feel like I'm swinging. Remember when you were a kid and they had the wiffle ball bats that were the red ones that were big and like extra wide? The big fat wiffle ball bats, not the skinny ones?
Yeah, that's what I saw. Maybe you don't remember. Shower.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. that's what I feel like compared to others, I guess.
It's like Clifford the Big Red Dog. It's like,
so you gotta find a man. You gotta find a man in one of those top 21 countries. There, you got Colombia, Central African Republic, Italy, Chad, Paraguay, Georgia, Zimbabwe, Egypt, Canada. Canada's 12th on the list. Yeah. They just got to go north of the border.
Hey, well, it's because they're all measuring fucking millimeters. That's why. That's not inches. That's it's a fucking metric system. That's why the U.S. is so low.
Hey, the guys
we're
up
doing
there are
actual
pulling,
measurements here.
Pulling dog sleds, that's why.
Dog sleds, that's a horrible thing to call.
I have for the last thing tonight, and this will round out the show.
I
Ghost. I just saw you guys. I heard you guys talk about it too.
Yes, dick size matters.
You. That's good.
Ghost says.
So, yeah, as you get in here, you dick size walking in the show. So I pulled up the top 10. These are mainstream rock, not really metal. We'll do that another time, but we're gonna go through the 90s. 90 to 99, mainstream rock, top 10 by year.
Bands or
this
songs?
This would be fun to do. Yes. So 1990 first. From number 10. Coming of Age by Damn Yankees.
Okay.
I like them. That's a good song. Number 9, My Head's in Mississippi, ZZ Top. Number 8, Suicide Blonde, NXS. I wouldn't call NXS rock, but okay. Double Back, ZZ Top, number 7. If You Needed Somebody, Bad Company, number 6. What It Takes, Aerosmith. That was a good song. It's a breakup song. But number 5, Bad Love by Eric Clapton. He's not rock. Come on. Hard to Handle, Black Crowes. I like the Black Crowes.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah. They had Money Talks by AC/DC.
Fucking A.
That's a good, that album was good. That was the Razor's Edge album.
That was a good song to do the
Crazy World
to. That whole album was great.
Oh, it was Crazy World album, but it had, or was it Razor's Edge? It was Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
That was a good album.
I listened
to that one a lot in the Marine Corps.
I listened to it.
And number 1 was Jealous Again by the Black Crowes.
Wow.
So they had the number 1 and number 3 song. Yeah. 1991. End of the Line, the Allman Brothers. What is this?
What the fuck are the Allman Brothers in 91?
I don't know. Enter Sandman, Metallica, number 9 in 91.
Number 9, that's it?
Yeah, that's a good song. Van Halen, Runaround, number 8.
Van Halen should not be in the 90s.
Out in the Cold, Tom Petty and the Petty and the Heartbreakers, number 7.
Petty, stuck.
All This Time, Sting, number 6.
Ew.
Smells Like Teen Spirit, number 5, Nirvana. December of
1991.
Lift Me Up, yes. Number 3, this was a song they played at my graduation. Silent Lucidity, Queensryche.
One of my favorite songs of that year, for real. I actually still have it on my phone.
The Black Crow is number 2. She Talks to Angels.
Love that song. And the number one covers of it. I've heard a lot of covers of that song. Seriously.
Yep.
And they do a really, really good job of it. A lot of different bands do a really, really good job of this.
The number one song of 1991 on the mainstream rock charts was R.E.M. Losing My Religion.
I liked them for a little while, yeah. Like when they were. And then they were.
I understand how big they were, but I never was a huge fan.
Number 10, 1992.
All right, my graduation year. Let's
there
get ready.
You know. Well, then you should be all over these, right? You should.
We'll see which ones they are.
Thorn in My Pride, The Black Crowes, number 10.
That's a good song.
Friday I'm in Love, The Cure, number 9. Nothing Else Matters, Metallica, number 8. That was a good
tune. I like that one.
Remedy, that's one of my favorites. The Black Crowes, number 7.
Yes.
It's probably my favorite Black Crowes song. One by U2, number 6.
I wasn't a huge U2 fan.
Like them.
I was the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Same way. Thanks for popping in, Ghost. Hope you can. We'll get this uploaded so you can see the rest soon. I like having you in the audience with us live. Pearl Jam, number 5, Jeremy. Great song.
I was not a big Pearl Jam guy. It was
I saw him twice in concert.
You know how they say there's either Walmart or Target shoppers? They say in the 90s you're either a Nirvana fan or Pearl Jam fan. Very few people were fans of both. And I
liked them both.
I was a huge Nirvana guy.
I liked all that. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden.
Disney, yeah, I did like Soundgarden. All of those that came out. Yeah, I liked all of those except for Pearl Jam.
Wow. Mysterious Ways, yeah. U2, number 4.
Yeah.
Hotel Illness, The Black Crowes, number 3. The Black Crowes were kicking out tunes in the early 90s.
Yeah, they were.
Come As You Are, Nirvana, number 2. It's a good song. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers were the number 1 song in 92. Phil, what was it?
Under the Bridge.
Yes, Under the Bridge. Good call. Moving on to 93.
That's because it's a fantastic fucking song. Still holds water today.
1993, the number 10 song. I hated this fucking video. It just Blind Melon, No Rain.
Oh, I wanted
to jump in that video and take a baseball bat to that stupid bee.
Girl dancing as a bee was great. The song was catchy.
I wanted her to get hit by that ice cream truck or whatever it was.
How many nights I got drunk to that song in Okinawa?
I can't. Oh, just song, that video.
No rain. We can't sing. But we didn't care. Nine. Once was in full effect.
Soul to Squeeze, wow. Chili Peppers, number 9. Heart-Shaped Box, Nirvana, number 8. Gotta love the Heart-Shaped Box.
Yeah, New Draw.
Soul Asylum, Runaway Train, number 7. That was a good song. Good story.
Very drunk to that one, too.
Sting, If I Ever Lose My Faith in You, number 6. Number 5, Stone Temple Pilots, Plush. That was a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, STP is a great band. Boy, Scott Weiland really fucked himself up a lot.
I saw him live, STP, at Bradley Center.
Okay. No, I didn't see them live.
Fantastic show. Local H opened up for him. Local H.
Oh, Local H is, yeah.
Oh, just a great show. I'm actually very happy to say I could see that I saw STP live because I didn't. I regret saying that I never got to see Linkin Park live.
93, I did. 93, Pearl Jam, that, Black. Yeah. That was a great song, too. I saw them at the Marcus Amphitheater. Living on the Edge, Aerosmith, number 3. Great song. Lenny Kravitz, Are You Going My Way, number 2. Another good song. I like Kravitz. And Pearl Jam was the number 1 with Daughter.
Don't call me.
I did like that Pearl Jam song.
Yeah. 1994, number 10. STP again, Vaseline.
Yeah, they came out big. That was The Crow.
Yeah.
The movie The Crow.
That was a good album, too.
Bigger.
Selling. That was a great album. Yeah. Live, Selling the Drama was number 9. Black Hole Sun, Soundgarden. Yeah. Great fucking tune. Great band. Man, yes. I miss Chris Cornell. That was that guy, arguably one of the greatest vocalists of all time. Chris Cornell, just amazing. Mr. Jones, Counting Crows. I hated that song. Number 7.
How did you like the Counting Crows though?
Well, not really.
That's interesting because you're very smart. You're a very smart person. And there was a study done that said that highly intelligent people really enjoy listening to Counting Crows for whatever reason.
Maybe I'm not that smart after all.
Well, you joined the Marine Corps, so.
Yeah, there you go. Number 6 was a one-hit wonder, but I think I love this song, though. Cracker, Low.
It's one of my favorites. That's a great tune.
All Apologies, Nirvana, number 5.
Good one.
Collective Soul, Shine, number 4. Candlebox, Far Behind, number 3. I didn't care for that song. I like Candlebox, but I didn't care for that song. I saw Candlebox at a concert, too. I saw them at Summerfest. They were on the Laser 103 rock stage.
Laser 103.
Number 2, Better Man by Pearl Jam.
Bob and Brian.
Yep. And number 1 song in 1994 was Interstate Love Song, Stone Temple Pilots again.
Yeah.
Another good one. Yeah.
Scott Weiland had a great voice, too.
He did, man. The guy was that band. There's so many of them. We're going to get to a couple more in here, but the drugs screwed them up, man.
Yeah.
And they screwed the whole bands up because of, screwed the bands up entirely because of it. Oh man, what happened here? I lost my place. Let me get back up there. Okay, number 1995.
Okay,
Cumbersome by Seven Mary Three.
Yep,
liked it.
They did Water's Edge, right? I think that was the other one they did. That was all right.
I think just the proof.
Goo Goo Dolls, Nah, A Name was number 9.
It took me a long time to appreciate the Goo Goo Dolls.
There's the I just remember women singing this song all the time. Number 8, You Oughta Know, yeah. Alanis Morissette.
There's my chick. Yep.
Bush, number 7, Everything Zen.
We like that song. Yeah.
Live Lightning Crashes, number 6. Number 5, December Collective Soul.
Oh my god, so many. Oh wow.
Oh, number 4, one of my favorites, The World Is a Vampire.
Dude.
Bullet with Butterfly
Wings.
Really?
Like Smashing Pumpkins? I was not a Smashing Pumpkins fan. I didn't care for the Pumpkins.
The next one is another one I liked, and they were kind of a one-hit wonder, an Australian band, Silverchair with Tomorrow. I loved that song. That was a great one.
It wasn't Australian. They were from Massachusetts.
Where are they from?
Silverchair? I thought they're from Australia.
They were from Massachusetts. They were kids.
Oh, man.
They were kids. Now they're producers of music, but they're from Massachusetts, I believe. Firmly believe. I'm like,
Jenny confirmed for me. Did I think they're
The band.
Number 2, My Friends by Red Hot Chili Peppers. That was a good song. When I Come Around by Green Day, the number 1 song in 1995.
That's when Green Day started making their appearance.
Yep.
Yeah, they were like 15 and 17.
Okay, so do you want the
they had 1996
tour. They had, their mom had to go with them.
So yeah, go ahead, Jen.
Silverchair were an Australian rock band which formed in 1992 as Innocent Criminals in Newcastle, New South Wales, and Ben Gillies on drums. John, blah 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 blah. Yeah, great.
I win. I win.
When they were on a show, they signed in Australia and internationally. Silverchair have sold over 10 million albums worldwide.
Okay. They might move to Massachusetts or something like that. They have ties to New England.
They might have.
1996, number 10, Santa Monica, Everclear.
God, I like that song.
Yeah, that's a good song. Number 9, Blow Up the Outside World, Soundgarden. Oh, here's the number. Another Alanis Morissette at number 8. Which one is it, Jenny?
It's the one with the cheating or whatever.
It's the other big one.
Yeah, the bitch one or whatever.
Ironic.
It's
like rain.
None of it was ironic. It was all just bad luck.
Don't make me start. You'll blow up your stuff. It'll disappear.
Collective Soul, The World I Know, number 7.
Down, a good album.
311 was number 6. In the meantime, Space Dog,
like
number 5. Yeah, they were
Did
all right.
Did you like 311, Tom? I didn't listen
to they were all right. Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart, Stone Temple Pilots, number 4.
That one.
This one's right up Phil's alley, Pepper by Butthole Surfers.
I love that song.
Butthole 79. 1979, Smashing Pumpkins, number 2. Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Money in My Hand by Primitive Radio Gods was number 1.
Yes.
I don't remember that song.
Are you serious?
What is it?
Yeah, I don't remember that song.
Standing Outside a Phone Booth with a radio
Standing radio Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Money in My Hand. Primitive Radio Gods.
Yeah.
So if you Google Primitive Radio Gods, it's probably the only song because I don't. All right, 97. Damn it, Blink 182, number 10.
In my life, this is when Jen went wild.
Everlong, Foo Fighters, number 9. Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth, number 8. I remember that was a big one in the clubs and bars. Push by Matchbox 20, number 7. If You Could Only See by Tonic, number 6. One Headlight, The Wallflowers. I didn't care for that song. It was number 5. Here's...
You didn't care for this?
No.
You didn't fall for the hole? He sounds just like his dad?
No. It wasn't my thing. Number four, Touch, Peel, and Stand by Dazed and New. Probably one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
That guy's another one. Well, Dazed and New. So lead singer, Travis Meeks, he got all drugged out. So the band then became Tantric with a new lead singer. And then the band broke away from the new lead singer who kept Tantric. And so eventually the music that was out there was none of them anymore. But man, they were so, so good. I really like Days of the New. Matchbox 20, number 3 with 3 a.m. Creed was another one of my favorites. My Own Prison, number 2.
Yeah, that was a great one.
They're another one where the lead singer got all doped up and really just wrecked the momentum of the band.
He's a conspiracy theorist, isn't he? Scott's dad?
He might be.
Yeah, he's a big time. I saw... Like, he was supposedly intercepted by the federal government because there was some kind of plans on his computer for storming the Capitol. This was, like, a long time ago. This was not 2020. This was, like, 2015, I think it was.
I don't know. I know I saw his comeback tour. I mean, this is probably going back 5, 6, 7 years. I saw their comeback tour, like, when they finally got the band back together after his rehab and stuff. I saw it at the Bradley Center, and it was like a really it was a really small crowd. I was surprised because they jammed, they rocked out. But yeah, number one song 1997, Marcy's Playground, Sex and Candy.
Love that song and all the remakes of it.
Two more years to go here. What we got here? Number 1998, number 10, Pretty Fly for a White Guy, The Offspring.
That took that long for it to reach number 10?
Closing Time, Semisonic, number 9. That was played, like 1998, that was played at every bar at the end of the night for like 3 years after that song came out.
That was when I was in college, so I used to referee volleyball games at Soccer USA. Do you remember know what that is? Capitol and Port Washington Road. I go up there and referee volleyball games simply because they paid you in beer. Nice. Like if you refereed one volleyball game, you got to drink all night long, and that's when
those were great days. Those were great days. I did. I would ump. I would volunteer sometimes to ump softball games for that same reason. You just go back to the home team's bar and you drink beer free all night. It's great.
I may or may not have been a judge for putting wrestling at Kelly's Bleachers too, because I got
the. I remember you telling this story. Yeah. Shimmer by Fuel, number 8.
Good song.
Shelf in the Room by Days of the New, number 7.
Another good one. Wow. 98 was rocking.
Given to Fly, Pearl Jam, number 6. Number 5, one of my favorite songs ever, Fly Away, Lenny Kravitz. Good Riddance by Green Day, number 4.
All right, that's still a respectable song.
Inside Out, Eve 6. That was a great song, number 3.
That song too, yeah.
Yeah. Iris, Goo Goo Dolls. I like the Goo Goo Dolls, but I didn't like Iris. That's number 2.
I saw them at Miller Park when they did a show a few years ago, before I moved, obviously.
Long Way Down is one of my favorites by them.
They did a really, really good show. It was the only concert I ever saw at Miller Park. They did a really good job.
Number one song in 1998, What It's Like, Everlast. Yeah. That's a pretty good song.
That's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
I can see that being a number one song.
1999, last year for tonight, rounding out the evening. Number 10, Filter, Take a Picture. I love that song. Yeah. I still listen to that song often. It's a great tune. Why Don't You Get a Job, The Offspring, number 9. Okay, I'm trying, all right? I'm trying to get a job. Stop sending me subliminal messages. Number 8, All the Small Things, Blink 182.
Wasn't a big Blink fan. But that song wasn't a video game that I was playing at the time. I think it was like an RC 4x4. Like you had to race these 4x4 control cars. Nice. I did like it for that game.
Nice. Number 7, Doing It All for the...
Booty.
Doing It All for the Nookie.
Oh my God.
Limp Bizkit.
That came on my playlist the other day.
Nookie, Limp Bizkit, number 7, 1999. Number six, Every Morning, Sugar Ray.
That was okay. So I didn't dislike Sugar Ray, but I wasn't a huge fan either.
I'm the same way. On the fence with him.
Yeah. I if it's on, I'll be like, eh, all right. I'm not going to see what else.
One by Creed, number five.
Really?
My Own Worst Enemy by Lit. That wasn't a bad song. Number. Heavy by Collective Soul, yeah. Number three. What's My Age Again? Blink 182, number two. And the number one song in 1999 was Scar Tissue, wow, by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wow.
That's a good song.
So there you go. We'll do the 80s some other show too, but that's what I had for us tonight. I was, the 90s were, I'd loved the music in the 90s, the rock, the alternative sound. There was so much good music. I'm surprised we didn't see,
Nine Inch Nails.
Like, there was no Tantric in there.
They do it by, like, who genre? Else was not... They don't do it like as a whole, right? They much.
No, this is no. I had a search to find different charts. This was done by a site that just
listened to a lot of hip hop. Yeah.
Surprised Nine Inch Nails wasn't in there anywhere, which, like, I'm surprised.
I went from Biggie to, like, Metallica in the 90s, like back.
Yeah. There wasn't any more Metallica in there. I'm surprised because they had a few, like Fuel by Metallica was a big one. Ain't My Bitch was a good one. Were big songs by them. Whiskey in a Jar was a big one by them.
I think Metallica wants to forget the Load and Reload albums.
I like those albums, to be honest with you. Yeah. But we didn't, you know, Nine Inch Nails wasn't in this lineup anywhere. Closer was obviously a big one, but Head Like a Hole was another big one. Although that might have been prior to the 90s.
No.
I had like a whole.
No, that was really popular in Okinawa. That was a big
Yeah, but I think it came out before that. I think Head Like a Hole. Well, maybe.
When did it come out?
Head Like a Hole, Nine Inch Nails. I think, I'm going to say that one was, well, maybe it was 90. Like it might have cut. Yeah. 90. Might have been 90, but it could be 89. I don't know.
That song.
It's an early Nine Inch Nails.
Huge at the club I went to in Okinawa.
Yeah, it was a good song, but it was out early.
Yeah, March 22nd, 1990. Recorded 1989.
Okay.
That's super cool.
I'm on fire tonight. I know my music and when it comes to the rock in the 90s. Just the same way, Marine Corps, and then all my just those were my fighting days. Marine Corps afterwards.
I think it was Head Like a Hole was probably the worst fight I ever got into. At the bar, I was talking to this girl, and this fucking Air Force guy didn't like that I was talking to his girl, but I didn't know it was his girl, just a good looking girl, right? So, of course, we talked to her, and then Head Like a Hole came on. And he like punched me in the back of the head. So I'm like, all right, go around, walk around, go around. I grabbed a fucking beer mug and I smashed the fucking beer mug off of his face and broke it. Dude was fucked up. Like he got like a bunch of stitches in his fucking face. And they were like, oh, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of here. They're going to call the JPs.
Hey, what I'm going to do here real quick is I'm going to close out this show for the recording, and then we'll still hang on. We'll still stay recording for anybody that's watching and still wants to hang out. We're just going to continue to probably talk music for a little bit. But thank you for checking the show out tonight. Again, you go to rucksackradio.com to support the show, to check out my articles there, check out resources, civic resources. We have their veteran resources there. We'll be back again on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., June 19th. Friends, there's no substitute for educated, passionate patriots who value our sacred principles of liberty to take action to preserve them. Rock on. Have a good night. We love you. And we'll see you again Sunday morning. Peace.